How are you righteous before God? That assumes you are. If you are a professing Christian, and if you are a real Christian, you have genuine faith, you are righteous before God. You might not, well, you shouldn't ever feel like it. Like you're the type of righteousness that you have from God through Christ, you don't feel it. It's just, it's yours legally. Someday, I guess we could say we feel righteous in the eternal state when there be no sin in us. But there's an old catechism that asks the question, how are you righteous before God? It's a long answer. I want to give the answer and then kind of work through it. Only by faith in Christ Jesus. Although my conscience accused me that I have grievously trespassed against all the commandments of God and have not kept one of them, and further, am as yet prone to all evil, yet, nevertheless, if I embrace these benefits of Christ with a true confidence and persuasion of mind, the full and perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ without any merit of mine, of the mere mercy of God, is imputed and given to me, and that so, as if neither I had committed any sin, neither any corruption did stick to me. Yes, as if I myself had perfectly accomplished that obedience which Christ accomplished for me. It's a long answer, but it's a good answer. It tells the truth of the imputation of the righteousness of Christ, what it is and what it isn't. Answer contains many glorious and very encouraging soul-strengthening truths, such as sinners are righteous before God only by faith in Christ Jesus. Just think if your righteous standing with God depended on the level of your sanctification. I'd be saved, then lost, saved, then lost, saved, then lost. Thank God we're saved based on the doing, dying, and rising of Him for us, not on what we do for Him. It's through faith and faith alone that we are righteous before God. Faith is an instrument. You know what I call it? The soiled hand that receives. It is a passive thing. It's not an active thing. Faith isn't unto merit. Faith says, give me all that the Bible promises, because I'm a sinner. A foul eye to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. So faith is the instrument through which sinners receive the benefits of Christ, and notwithstanding an accusing conscience, gospel-believing sinners are righteous before God for Jesus' sake and for His sake alone. Though the best of believers may and do find that they have not and do not and will not in this life keep God's commandments as required, personally, perpetually, and entirely, and that there is a war waging in their souls, it is nonetheless true that all the benefits of Christ are imputed and given to all believers, weak believers, strong believers, old believers, young believers, new believers, and seasoned saints alike. Brand new Christians and apostles, same righteousness, not of their own, but of Christ. Through faith, you say, well, my faith's kind of weak. Justification doesn't depend on the temperature of your faith. It depends on the presence of it, as strong or as weak as it might be. The weakest faith, as long as it terminates on the promise of God in Christ, is just as righteous as the strongest apostle's faith. All believers in Jesus get all the benefits of Jesus. That's good news. The facts of transgressing God's law and inner warfare as believers, though true of all believers, does not alter our status or standing with God. You say, well, you don't know what the warfare was like this week. You could have lost a lot of battles, but your status as a justified, ungodly sinner didn't move or shake. It's not dependent on our level of sanctification. It's dependent on the doing, dying, and rising of another for us. This is why we sing seemingly contradictory truths like this. This is why we sing seemingly contradictory truths like this. Ode to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Then this. In thee we have a righteousness by God himself approved. Our rock, our sure foundation, this which never can be moved. Our ransom by thy death was paid. For all thy people given the law, thou perfectly obeyed, that they might enter heaven. See, those seem contradictory. The second line, hymn number 400, paragraph 2, 440, paragraph 2, seem to be so objective, solid rock, nothing can shake this, right? The first hymn I read from, which we sang earlier today, I think, seemed like this guy's floating, and sometimes he feels like he's going to sink, and yeah, he might sink, but he's not going to die underwater. He's going to be raised up out of the mire of temptation and the difficulty of life and the trials of life. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. But Jesus, on the other hand, says things like, "No one will snatch them out of my Father's hand, or my Father's hand." And some of you know the story about, I think I heard it in the 80s on the radio. No one can do that, but you can jump out. It's like, if we could jump out, we would have jumped out of his hand a long time ago. The first hymn I quoted from is a display of the remaining corruption. And we are not to gauge our whether or not I have true and saving faith based on the spiritual battles I go through weekly. Because you know what will happen? I'm saved on the first week of the month. I'm lost the second week. I'm saved on the third. I'm lost on the fourth. And you go through this seesaw, what do you call those things? Roller coaster. And you base the objectivity of the Christian faith on your own subjective feelings. Feelings. Only feelings, nothing but feelings, or however that song goes. Don't trust them. Trust the promises of God through thick and through thin. Though believers remain sinful and prone to wander, their standing with God is not based on their works for God, but on God's work for them in Christ. So it is through faith alone that all believers receive the benefits of Christ, the full and perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ without any merit of mine, of the mere mercy of God. That's what the Catechism says. This is the truth of, we call it imputed righteousness, the reckoning to our account of the righteousness of Christ for us and for our justification. So that we can put it this way, all that Jesus did for the benefit of sinners is given to all believing sinners. As a result of this imputed righteousness, God considers us as if neither we had committed any sin, neither any corruption did stick to us. Yes, as if we always had perfectly accomplished that obedience which Christ accomplished for us. So what is justification? Just as if I had never sinned. Have you ever heard that one? Which is good enough, good news. God treats me just as if I had never sinned. It's actually better than that, because God treats me just as if I had always obeyed. And then here's another one. God treats me in terms of my standing with him, whether I'm a son or daughter of God, I'm accepted in the beloved. Not based on the amount or lack of remaining corruption in me either. He acts as if I'd never sinned, always obeyed, and had no remaining corruption. Why? Because we're accepted in the beloved one. We're not accepted by virtue of what we do for the beloved one. We're accepted by virtue of what the beloved one has done for us. So our acceptance with God has nothing to do with our works for God, but everything to do with God's work for us in Christ. Romans 4:5. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. Most of you have heard that language of an alien righteousness. A righteousness that's real and true, but it's outside of us. It's alien to our own performance. We didn't perform it. Somebody else did. It's the alone righteousness approved by heaven. It was earned upon the earth, not by us, though for us. And all of this means that being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How could we have peace with God no matter what? Well, you have to be righteous to be in a right relationship with God. How are we righteous? By virtue of what he's done for us. Can what he's done for us lose its power and efficacy? No. Once you're in Christ, you're as good as glorified. You're treated by God as righteous because in Christ you are. Just think if God treated us, accepted us based on our level of spiritual warfare in our souls. When you had a good day, God smiled on you. When you had a bad day, God threw darts at you. What do you need on a bad day? God not to throw darts at you, right? That's probably a bad metaphor, isn't it? God doesn't throw darts, but you know what I mean. Does God chastise his people? Yes. Because of our sins? Yes. Does that affect the justifying verdict of God? No. It actually reflects it. Because he's treating us like who we are. His children who are accepted by him. And so the chastisements of the Lord are fatherly displeasure, acts of love. I've said this before. You should be very thankful I'm not God, because I wouldn't just chastise you. I'd say, I'm sick and tired of this. Look at you. On Monday, on Sunday, you're half a saint. By Tuesday, you're as carnal as a cow or a shoe or however Pastor Butler said that. I mean, that's how I look at myself sometimes. Some days are pretty good, and then other times, why did you think that? Why did you do that? Why did you say that? Again. And the older I get, sorry, you guys know, the older you get, you're going, I thought I was supposed to learn that in my 30s. You know, don't think that way. Don't act that way. Don't desire those kinds of things. If our justified status depended on our hearts, that would be a sad day. Justification has been described as being treated by God just as if I had never sinned. But as I said before, it also includes being treated by God just as if I had always obeyed, and just as if I had no remaining corruption in me either. Now, the catechism goes on, but I'm going to stop there. No, I'm not. I'm going to go on. It's really short. Why do you affirm that you are made righteous by faith alone? Why do you affirm that you are made righteous by faith alone? Here's the answer. Not because I please God through the worthiness of mere faith, but because only the satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ is my righteousness before God, and I cannot take hold of it or apply it to myself any other way than by faith. Faith in Christ, then, is not a work rewarded by God with the benefits of Christ. Faith in Christ does not earn us the reward of Christ. Faith is not merit. Faith is not meritorious. Faith is passive. It's the passive receptacle, the receiving thing that is a gift of God, by the way, through which the benefits offered in the gospel get to us. It does not merit what the gospel offers. It receives what the gospel offers. Gospel benefits are not earned through it, that is faith. Faith receives what is offered to us in the gospel. And what is offered is Christ and all that he has done for sinners. So we could say this, faith is the way we take hold of, or older language, apply the righteousness of Christ to us. It is not the meritorious cause or means by which we earn anything from God. And this is why Paul, the apostle, could say, but by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. I think I've told this story before. Many years ago, my wife and I were in Santa Monica, I think, and there's 100 people in the room, and the powers that be had invited some Christian singer from Seattle to come and sing before this guy would get up and preach to the whole seminary. And she said, I saw some snow outside the plane up in Seattle, and some of it was white and some of it was dirty. And I thought of myself as a non-Christian, dirty snow, you know, underneath there is something good, but the external wasn't good. I was, dead in my trespasses and sins. And then I got up and I wiped myself clean. And we're sitting in the back going, I don't think that's how it works. I wipe myself clean. Let him who boasts, boast in their ability to wipe themselves clean. No. The Lord saw me in my filth and mysteriously came down and opened my blind eyes and unplugged my deaf ears. And then he gave me a tongue to sing his praises after light came in a dark place. So the very fact that believers are in Christ is God's doing. So there's no room to boast. I'm cleaning my life up. I became a Christian. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm doing the other. Me, 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 me. That kind of thing. It's like, no, let him who boasts boast in the Lord. I don't deserve it. I deserved hell. And not only did I not get it when I should have got it way back a long time ago, I got all the promises of God, which are yea and amen, in Christ Jesus, delivered to me freely, sovereignly. Being in Christ brings with it the benefits of Christ. It's all God's doing. Faith in Christ is God's doing. This not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Repentance is a grant from heaven. It is a grace gift. Faith from God, repentance is from God. Union with Christ, effected by God, not by us. So we have a lot of grounds for boasting. None of it in ourselves. Everything outside of ourselves. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for the consideration about how sinners can be pronounced righteous before God, why that is even possible, what benefits come by virtue of it. Ultimately, we know what's promised, a wonderful world without sin and no tears and no cancer and no heartaches and no divorces and no wayward children, but full and perfect happiness of soul, bliss, felicity, love, acceptance, wonder, amazement, all those things are promised. And so we sinners get them through faith and faith alone. So help us to be grateful, to be thankful as we take the supper, as we sing your praises. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.